Real quick before we get started here, just a tiny bit of shameless self-promotion. We are doing another live WPR Politics podcast taping event, this time August 9th in Appleton. So if you happen to be in the area, stop by for some beer and some halfway cogent analysis of state politics. You can find details and get tickets at wpr.org/presents.
Hey guys!
Hey, hey Sean!
Hey, lots of numbers out this week in the world of Wisconsin politics. We had fundraising numbers, we had Marquette poll numbers, and you know what that means.
Oh, I sure do. Looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening.
I need some hot stuff, baby, tonight. Disco?
No, man. It means hot takes.
So you mean like a quick-hitting political story based on limited information, high on opinions?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of what it means.
That's a solid definition.
Good job. So I thought maybe this week on the podcast we could talk about some of those hot takes.
Let's do it.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about hot takes. And that, of course, is the bad girl of disco, Donna Summer, with her 1979 hit, Hot Stuff.
I liked your definition of hot takes, which you got from Wikipedia, I believe.
I paraphrased it.
You didn't read from it just now. You kind of memorized it.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive.
I feel like hot takes is one of those things that we kind of generally know what it means, you know? It's like this, people don't usually give ambiguous opinions when you're in a hot take, right? There's not like an on the one hand and on the other hand kind of take. It's more like, here's the fact. There is no other way to view this information. Thank you very much. Done.
Yeah. So we had like a hot take volcanic eruption, an eruption of hot takes this week?
Well, I don't know. Fundraising numbers always seem to lend themselves to hot takes. And the hot takes we're going to talk about today come from the campaigns. Who thought that their numbers were especially good. So we're not talking about journalists or columnists' hot takes here, but the campaigns.
They're sort of like hot take spin.
Yeah.
Spinning hot takes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason it all happened this week is because we had a campaign finance fundraising deadline. All the money that candidates raised from January 1st to June 30th, they had to report it by July 16th and share it with the world. And so then it's kind of interesting in this 8-candidate field, the Democratic field for governor, because people are wondering sort of who's running a legit campaign, who's out there actually, you know, doing what campaigns have to do, asking for money, and who's struggling with that. You know, it's one metric of a campaign. You maybe don't have to have money to run a campaign, but it helps, right?
Yeah. And I feel like this is something that John Wilson's hot take. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I feel like we've been waiting for this fundraising report for quite a while because with such a big field, we've been looking for like a variety of things to give us clues about how people are doing or how they're differentiating themselves. I think if it was like a more traditional race with like a couple candidates, maybe we wouldn't be anticipating this wouldn't have been anticipating this quite so much.
Yeah, we probably would.
Yeah, you're right.
You're giving yourself way too much credit.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd be super chill if it wasn't such a big field. But
yeah, usually though, it'd be like if it was Mary Burke versus Scott Walker, it'd be like, oh, who raised more? Mm-hmm. Who had more cash on hand? And just like the 1-2 candidate comparison here, I feel like who actually had the best fundraising period is arguably more ambiguous. It's harder to nail down because all the candidates seem to have something, not all the candidates, a few of the candidates have something that they can point to say like they had the best period. So maybe we should start with take number one.
Yeah, hot.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah. It sounds sort of like rain falling on a roof, but it's not.
I can confirm it's bacon frying because I watched a video. I just ran out of the bacon sound there.
That's good because it was getting too darn hot in here.
Whoa. So, Sean, walk us through this first
Okay, the first take. Okay. So one of the ways that you measure, a couple of the ways, important ways that you measure campaign fundraising is cash on hand. All right. Cash on hand is basically.
We call in the biz COH.
Now, what's the difference between COH, cash on hand, yeah. and like the overall amount of money that you have?
Well, what you have is cash on hand.
Okay. Or the amount that you've raised.
The amount that you raised is what you've like that. So cash on hand is what you have. And what you've raised is what you've raised, I guess. Total raised is your income.
Mm-hmm.
And cash on hand is important because right now, or at least on June 30th, less than 2 months from primary day, who is best positioned, who has the most money that they can put into this race now, now that people are starting to pay attention, now that we're getting down to the wire, who has that cash that they can dump into the race? That's why that's an important metric, especially this close to primary day.
It's the amount of money they have in their bank account
yeah.
that they can use right now to do things like buy TV ads or
yeah.
whatever.
Or yeah. dinner.
Or dinner.
Yeah. Who knows? Probably
Pizza.
TV ads or billboards or social media ads or organizers, you know.
Gatorade
to go out and,
for phone bankers.
Gatorade.
It's for electrolytes up.
Some Red Bull.
I'm picturing that campaign meeting. All right, guys, I know this is unorthodox, but I think we need to double down on Gatorade this year. Tot and our organizers
yeah, but
need
fruit punch or the blue kind or lemon lime?
Lemon lime.
Yeah.
So Kelda Royce led kind of, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else in cash on hand. She had $668,000 cash on hand, roughly. The next closest was Matt Flynn, who had $403,000. Malin Mitchell, $368,000. Tony Evers with $307,000. And those were the only ones in six figures. It dropped off pretty fast after that. So the top four, you know, Kelda Royce, Matt Flynn, Malin Mitchell, and Tony Evers, they seem to be kind of in the cash race, and in a primary race like this, that doesn't mean it's going to translate to votes. But in the cash race, they are far and away beating everybody. And Kelda Royce is far and away beating her next closest competitor. And she said after that fundraising period and those fundraising numbers were released.
So those, right. those were the facts. This is the hot take.
Give me that hot take.
Yeah. I think the hot take is in the headline. Royce leads in cash on hand by almost 2-to-1 margin. Highest cash on hand, lowest burn rate. Burn rate is something burn rate is something campaigns talk about, like how fast you're spending money. Like if you have a high burn rate, you're not disciplined. You're wasting too much money, and you're going to run out of money. You can't keep up with your spend.
So they're identifying burn rate by like how much money people. So doing how much you've raised and then your cash on hand,
it's a function of raised versus spent, right?
Got it.
Like how much did you spend out of the amount that you raised?
Okay. And so she says she has the lowest burn rate?
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you want you bringing in all this money, you're not spending it, you're disciplined. Of course, mm-hmm. you do have to spend money at some point if it's going to affect votes, but that's something that they trumpeted. Now, what comes out, though, is that this cash on hand advantage was fueled very significantly by Kelda Royce's own money. And in fact, she gave herself over the course of this period and the previous fundraising period. So it was like, I think December 30th or something, she gave herself money. She has contributed now $351,000 to her own campaign, which is, you know, it's more than half of her total cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than twice as much as the next closest person has given to their own campaigns. So Kelda Royce is sinking a lot of her own money there. So if you're looking at the fundraising reports for a sign of, you know, what's the health of their campaign, like how much are they reaching people?
Mm-hmm.
Arguably hers is not as strong as you might have thought.
Right. Because it's not. When you loan yourself money, you're not getting a sign from fundraising of like how many voters you've engaged with or how excited voters are or how many deep-pocketed people you have on your side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it came out this week, reported in a number of sources, including the Associated Press, that Kelda Royce took out a second mortgage on her Madison home for $235,000. Just days before she loaned her campaign $255,000 of that $350,000 that we referenced there.
Mm-hmm. So she's taking one kind of COH, cash on house, and putting it into cash on hand.
Good job, John.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hot take.
Yep.
Yeah, COH, COH.
I don't know if you can call that a hot take.
You're right, it's not.
It's more of a clever-ish acronym.
We need a sound for that.
All right, so that's our first hot take. Was there any other element of that hot take that you wanted to mention?
Okay, cool. Well, you could imagine that there might be some campaign out there that might look at Kelda Roy's fundraising numbers and all the money that she put in herself and say, now hold on, I have a take that is hotter than yours.
Yeah, so are you referencing the Malin Mitchell campaign hot take?
In fact, I am.
Wait, we need a hot sound. All right, you guys hear that? You know what else is hot?
That's a campfire.
Yep.
That's legit a campfire.
And if you put your hand in a campfire, it would be hot. All right, so what is the hot take?
All right, so the hot take from the Mitchell campaign is basically that he raised the most money of all Democrats because he is discounting the personal loans.
Right.
So,
which is a remarkably similar take to Kelda Roy's take.
Right, because she was like, I raised the most money. And Malin Mitchell's like, no, actually, I raised the most money because
you
I'm
going to
use...
gave yourself house money.
Right. That COH that you used for your COH does not count. The secondary COH. So how much money do those campaigns have without personal loans, you ask? Well, Malin Mitchell reported... $367,000-ish. I'm not going to go all the way into like the cents and stuff. And Kelda Roy's had $316,000 cash on hand without that personal loan stuff.
Yeah, so that's just their cash on hand minus personal loans or contributions. And Mitchell's is remarkably similar to his previous number because he didn't give himself money.
Right.
By the way, we should also mention Tony Evers gave himself $100,000. And Matt Flynn has given himself $140,000.
Mm-hmm.
And even the candidates that are running the lower budget campaigns.
Have given themselves, Mike McCabe gave himself $60,000?
Total in this race between his own loans and those from his wife.
Mm-hmm. Paul Soglin hasn't given himself any.
No.
Kathleen Vinehout, it was somewhere
around $15,000 between herself and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, a lot of personal money going into these races.
Yeah. So what Malin Mitchell's press release, his spinny hot take said was Malin Mitchell posts strongest fundraising of all Democrats. And then in the last sentence of his, it was like a pretty short little statement. He said, with just 4 weeks to go until the August 14th primary, all other candidates fell short despite last-minute personal loans to their campaigns. So I think he's kind of trying to play this as like the whole personal loan thing is kind of a desperate last-ditch kind of like, oh, man, I haven't made enough money.
Saying Kelda's doing that?
Yeah. I think he's trying to,
Saying Kelda's desperate.
This isn't legit,
I'm the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is there a caveat there?
There is. So what's interesting about Malin Mitchell's fundraising numbers is that he's gotten a lot of big donations because he's gotten the support from a lot of union groups, and those tend to come with kind of sizable donations. So those have bumped up his fundraising totals. I mean, I think his campaign would say, like, that doesn't really matter. I mean, we have the support of these unions, and they have
unions represent
they have
people,
money,
right?
They
represent working people, and yeah,
right.
And
so
you,
there's really
you do
no
have to hustle
between...
over. They are unions all over the country too. If you look at some of them, are just very small firefighter unions here and there, but all over the place, they're given to Mitchell.
Right. So he has gotten some of in terms of the size of individual donations, some of the biggest in this Democratic field.
Individual being from committees.
Right.
Let me guess. Committee donations.
Right.
Or PAC
donations. Mean one chunk of money coming from somewhere.
Right.
When I say individual, not a person.
He's gotten some of the single largest chunks of money in this campaign.
So ask me in Washington, D.C., you can just write him a $50,000 check, for example.
Right.
And
to
raise that from people, individual donors, would take a lot longer.
Right.
They did, yes. That did happen.
That did happen. That wasn't a hypothetical AFSCME donation.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of the caveat from the Mitchell fundraising.
So you're saying it's opening the door for another candidate with another hot take to say, hey, No, I got the most money.
I think that's what we're saying.
Exactly. Which leads us into a perfect segue into hot take numero tres.
All right, you're going to guess what this is.
Okay, I'm going to go with like it's a fire, a house fire, and that's the siren of the, you know, the firefighting engine, even though it doesn't sound like a firefighter.
Yeah, it's a little too rhythmic,
all.
Right?
Yeah.
What's going on here, John?
That is a old blast furnace making molten hot steel, which I assume is really, really hot.
That's really hot.
And there's a warning siren to give all the workers, like, warning that a bunch of molten hot steel is going to come pouring out here
Got
in a sec.
It.
It's
Got
super
it.
Hot, because remember, it melted the Terminator, actually, in Terminator 2.
Yeah, a true cinema classic. Anyway.
Moving on to the next hot take, courtesy of Tony Evers. And remember how Kelderoy said she had the best fundraising report? Malin Mitchell
do.
Said that,
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, we just talked about it 5 minutes
yep.
ago.
Yeah.
Seconds.
I was there.
Guess what Tony Evers said?
I have the best fundraising report.
In fact, his campaign said, yes, our fundraising report is the best. So why might they reach that conclusion? You might ask.
Well, you might say that if you look at the fundraising numbers minus personal contributions and minus committee contributions, you would see that Tony Evers comes out on top with $393,907 and something
good.
Beating Kelderoy's and Matt Flynn and Malin Mitchell and everybody else.
So why, John, would you take out the personal loans and the committee contributions?
Well, because somebody would argue that, like, oh, well, you're just getting support from big money donors in the case of unions, or you're giving yourself money. But, you know, you could say, if I'm getting a lot of smaller donations from lots and lots of different people, then that means that I'm the most broadly appealing to lots and lots of different people.
The sign of a traditionally healthy campaign. And what's another sign of a traditionally healthy campaign? Well, when a poll comes out, you're leading it. It's arguably a good sign for a campaign is when every poll comes out in this race and you're in front, that things are going well for you. And that's what happened in the latest primary poll from Marquette University. If you look at kind of the lines for the candidates here, this translates
Sean,
great
Sean,
to radio.
Yeah, Sean has a chart. Audience. He's holding it up
I'm
for everyone.
I'm holding it. Okay, close your eyes.
You think we would have learned this by now?
I'll never learn.
Sorry. All right, everybody. Picture a straight red line, and it's kind of in this. Yeah. How would you describe that shape,
so,
Sean?
So Tony Evers' line back in March, it starts below 20, and over the course of the next couple polls, it is now, it's just pointing straight up and is now above 30, whereas the rest of the lines, the other candidates, are just in, they're just down here kind of in a mess.
They're all kind of together. It
you
looks,
can't even
it
read them. It's just a clump
like
of lines.
Yeah, it's like yarn, like a spool of different colored yarn.
Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you were waiting for one candidate, one of those lines to sort of emerge in this latest Marquette poll and start closing in on Tony, it hasn't happened yet. Now, there is this other line that is above Tony Evers, and that is undecided voters. And it is even higher than Tony, okay? There's 38%
yeah.
of Tony. So he's losing to don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know continues to lead the race.
Aren't we all?
So that creates an opening for another candidate. They could, mm-hmm. you know, they could seize on to all those people who are still searching for that right candidate. If there's, you know, Malin Mitchell or Kelderoy's or somebody else, you know, they could maybe seize on that. But right now, Tony has some good things working.
So what's interesting there is like, so Tony has 31% of the support of people polled in the Marquette poll. And undecided was 38.
Yes.
So let's say every single one of those undecided 38s, like of the 38% that are undecided, went to one candidate.
Went to Josh Pade. Yes. Who pulled at zero in this
right.
latest
pick. Mm-hmm. He would be narrowly beating.
Yeah.
Evers. So it's like the other candidates are pretty low. Like, so Tony's at that, you know, 30 realm. The second place candidates are at what, like six, seven?
Yeah. Malin Mitchell at 6%. Kathleen Vinehout at 6%.
Yeah.
Those are within the margin of error, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
Because the margin of error is plus or minus 7, I think.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
So really this poll is telling us nothing.
I know. I think if you – I don't know, man. I look at that line for Evers. Again, I'll show you the line, podcast audience. And it's where a campaign wants to be, you know, moving up.
Away from the pack
and the pack is
up.
Actually moving away from him. If
the leader of the pack.
That's right. Yeah. Good job.
And then we all burst out into song.
Yep.
So picture that multicolored yarn at the bottom of a square, and then about midway through the square, there's the little slanty line pointing up like an incline on a mountain.
That's right.
God, now, you're a poet.
I use my words for my job.
So it's not all great news for Tony Evers, though, because if he is the front runner in this race, like, look, the polls are showing things are going my way. I have this fundraising report where individuals have given to my campaign. Things are looking good for me. Well, how's it looking for his general election opponent, Scott Walker, the governor? Mm-hmm. He had $5.5 million raised in this last fundraising period. And $5.9 million cash on hand. Both of those numbers far exceed the rest of the Democratic field.
So while everybody else is bickering over, well, you gave yourself money. Your money comes from big money donors.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Scott Walker is dwarfing them in terms of his fundraising.
Yes, that is the downside of a crowded Democratic primary where a lot of donors are kind of waiting for this thing to end before they give money to whoever wins. Is that Scott Walker has been running ad after ad. He's spending a lot. He's outspent the Democratic field by far, too. So he is in.
So his burn rate is high, but his money.
I don't know his burn rate because we haven't calculated spent versus. But he is able to burn money. Mm-hmm. And it's in a kind of a hot rate, I guess. We better go. We're out of fuel.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Looking for a real hot take? Here is the hottest take. Subscribe to get hot new episodes of the WPR Politics podcast almost every week on iTunes. It's also available on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other hot, hot, hot podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our just slightly cooled off past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.